Now let us turn to God's word in the book of Psalms, Psalm 78. Psalm 78, and we read from verse 42. Psalm 78, verse 42. Concerning the people of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy, how he had wrought his signs in Egypt, and his wonders in the field of Zoan, and had turned their rivers into blood, and their floods that they could not drink. He sent divers sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them. He gave also their increase unto the caterpillar, and their labour unto the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail, and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle also to the hail, and their flocks to hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation and trouble, by sending evil angels among them. He made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence, and smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham, but made his own people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely, so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And he brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to this mountain which his right hand had purchased. He cast out the heathen also before them, and divided them an inheritance by line, and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God, and kept not his testimonies, and so on. This Psalm 78 is entitled Mashkil, which means instruction. And this is because it is a history lesson drawn from Israel's past. Asaph gratefully remembers it, that it might be on record for future generations. And we read from verse 7, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And this reminds us of the importance of church history. Church history is most obviously his story, and it is what God has done for and in his church over the centuries. Asaph is looking back at the history of God's doings for the people. And we can do the same, of course. And it is a wonderful thing to think about church history, to read it, to enter into it, be thrilled by it. I remember when I was first converted and I was a young Christian teenager at school, I didn't have much interest in history. But I remember in God's providence meeting a Christian friend, and how that we would sit together in the front room at home And he was further on the Christian way than I was, and he was reading these books of church history. And I remember feeling so amazed and being wide-eyed as he told me about the Reformation and about the Puritans and about the evangelical awakening in the 18th century, all these great things which I was a total stranger to, but which were becoming knowledge to me and new knowledge. And I remember being so blessed. It was a new world of wonder and understanding, a goodly heritage, the wonderful works of God in the past. And of course, when we think about these things, it reminds us that because God does not change, the past can become the present, and the present the future. God can do these things again. And God, we trust and pray, will do such things again. And so it's inspiring, church history. We don't live in the past, but the past certainly inspires us for the present and the future. Well, the part of the psalm that we read recounts a part of Israel's history, the plagues that God sent upon the Egyptians in order for the Israelites to go free. And it brings us to the crossing of the Red Sea and their journey to the borders of the land of Canaan. Notice concerning the Red Sea in verse 53, he led them on safely so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. We have the record of it, of course, in the book of Exodus, but the reference to it here. And the writer to the Hebrews does the same. In Hebrews 11 and verse 29, to remind us that this is ever relevant and applicable to us to think about, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. But that crossing of the Red Sea by that miracle, opening up the depths so that the waters were a wall to them either side, and they went over as on dry land, and then the depths came together again and drowned the Egyptians, it marked the end of Egypt for the Israelites. The end of it for good. They got clear of that country and all that had marked their past in slavery. And it reminds us, dear friends, of something important. Egypt stands for the world. And it's important for us to get clear of the world. And like the people of Israel, to be separated unto God as his covenant people and his special treasure. And we should only be able to make progress toward the heavenly country like Israel did, by getting clear of the world, the Egyptians, and following the Lord fully, separated unto him. You can't have one foot in Egypt and one foot on the way to the promised land. Got to get clear of it completely. Can't serve two masters. Can't halt between two opinions. Let the Lord be God, and let us wholly follow him. Well, our text for this evening is in verse 53, the first part. And he led them on safely so that they feared not. Let us see then how it applies to us. For this is not history that belongs to the past only. It's his story that can be our story too. Notice first of all the shepherd. And he led them on. Now this is the action of a shepherd, because the previous verse, 52, says this. But made his own people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. It tells us that those whom God redeems he also cares for. From Egypt, they were brought out by the blood of the Lamb, and then by the power of the Lord. But they were brought into his care and into his leading. And from the Red Sea onwards, Psalm 77 verse 20, thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Psalm 80 verse 1, O shepherd of Israel. And it's the same for us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me. What was true of Israel at that time is true of us. These were types, these were patterns, these were illustrations of what the unchanging God is like to us now. And notice the and he led them on like a shepherd. The earlier part of the psalm does not reflect well upon the people. If we carried on in our reading from verse 8, we would read this, and that they might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And there is the sad record of their murmurings, their unbelief, their rebellion, their sin. And yet, verse 53 begins, and he led them on safely. Extraordinary, isn't it? That in the face of all the bad record of their conduct and behavior and unworthiness, you should have, and he led them on safely. It could have been another and leading to something else instead. But dear friends, that's a wonderful thing. In spite of it all, and he led them on safely. The forbearance, the patience, the mercy of God, despite us. It's the and of the gospel, isn't it? Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound, and God is better to us than we deserve, and he does not give up on his erring people. Those whom he redeems, he brings out to belong to him and be under his care and leading. And in spite of ourselves, the Lord will have his way and he will lead us on. It's the continuing story of his grace. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And you notice something else here. If he is the shepherd of his sheep, well, then it means that he is in front of us. He led them on. And so he's ahead. He's going before us. And that's an encouraging thought. He doesn't drive us from behind. He doesn't leave us to our own way and somehow he'll be there. No, no. He led them, and the Lord leads you. Our Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, in John 10 and verse 4, puts it like this, and, there's another and, you see, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. What a good thing. He's up ahead, but not far away, very near to us. But he's leading, and we follow. Whatever happens in life, whatever we encounter, he'll have been there first, and we're safe. Saviour, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. And if then the shepherd goes before and is ever leading us, it must mean, of course, he knows the way. He led them on. He led his people all the way through to the land of Canaan. And we need this assurance because sometimes the ways in which we are led are mysterious ways, aren't they? And sometimes ways that we can't understand and we have very great difficulty with. But even though we don't understand the way, we know that he does. And he knows what he's doing and where he's leading us. He led them on. That's why Job could say in chapter 23 and verse 10 of his book, "He knoweth the way that I take." He knows, dear friends, even though we do not. But it's enough that he knows. And we can trust him where we cannot trace him. I don't wish to be irreverent in making this comparison, but you know how it is with a sat-nav sometimes. And you put your destination into the sat-nav, and it's going to take you to where you want to be. But sometimes it will take you on a route that is unexpected. It will seem twisting and winding. It will be through narrow country roads, through pretty villages, endless. Seems as if it's the wrong way. Seems as if it's not direct at all. But before long, you hit a main road and you find to your relief that actually it's brought you more as the crow flies, much more directly, and links up again with the main road, which then you recognize. And you think it was right after all, I was wise to keep to it. But of course, if you had had that confidence in the beginning, you could have appreciated the nice country roads. You could have enjoyed the nice villages you were passing through and be much more relaxed. It knows where it's leading you, and there wouldn't have been any problem. Ah, dear friends, trust to your shepherd. He knows the way that he takes with us. And if we believed it more, we could be at peace more and be blessed in the way and take more notice of what he's teaching us and showing us. For it is a blessing indeed. In verse 72, the last verse of this psalm, "So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart." You can trust him. "And guided them by the skillfulness of his hands." He'll never get it wrong. And notice one further thing in the shepherd. The word "on." He led them on. Always forward. Always progress. The Christian life never stands still, does it? It must not stand still. One writer has said that the Christian life is like riding a bicycle. If you stop, you'll fall over. But keeping going, you're safe. He led them on. We must never stand still. And if we're following the Lord, we never will. Because he'll lead us on and teach us new things. He will increase us in the knowledge of him. He will give us more grace. He will give us fresh views of truth. He'll give us richer, deeper experiences as we go on. Always more to discover. Always more to see and to know. Always more of the adventure of the Christian life in following him. He led them on. And whether we're just beginning as Christians, or whether we're in middle life or toward the end of life, it's always the same, new and fresh, every morning, every day. Nothing palls, nothing cloys, nothing satiates. It's always fresh and new and wonderful. He led them on. And so our dear shepherd is leading us, and we are blessed to follow him for he leads us on. Let's look secondly at the comfort. And he led them on safely so that they feared not. And that was important for the Israelites, just like it is for us, because we are subject to fears. They feared. It was like that at the Red Sea, wasn't it? In Exodus 14, verse 13, Moses says, "Fear ye not." They were terrified, the Egyptians bearing down upon them, the deep Red Sea in front of them, mountains to one side, wilderness to the other, nowhere to go. Fear not. Often our fears are about what might happen in the future. Well, the Israelites didn't need to fear at the Red Sea, did they? Because the Lord simply opened up the waters and made the way through, because he was leading them on safely, that they might fear not. And the same for us. But we face the unknown way, uncertain future. We never know what might happen. Many people are like that today, aren't they, with the coronavirus and the consequences. One writer has put it like this: many people will be feeling increasingly anxious about what life may be like after the epidemic has died down, as there is now increasing talk of the restrictions slowly being eased. There will be some returning to whatever work remains for them, while others will find that they have none to return to. The government financial help will inevitably decline, and we will probably all find ourselves rather less well off than we were before. And there is always the possibility of the virus returning in subsequent peaks, maybe worse than the first. Both now and in the coming days, there will be many hearts weighed down by worry over the everyday matters of life. Well, we are human, and it is natural to feel like that. But you see, he led them on safely that they feared not. And because this COVID-19 prevails and brings about all these restrictions at present, and because of nobody knowing what the future holds in terms of returning to normality, doesn't make any difference. Our shepherd goes before us, and he leads us on safely. And here is the cure for fear and being afraid. He led them on safely. He didn't remove the cause of the fears, but he enabled them to come safely through the fears when he opened the waters of the Red Sea, when he dealt with every enemy, every need, everything that would make them terrified. And that's how it is with us. He doesn't take away the cause of fear, but he leads us through what we're fearing, and all is well. Isaiah 43 and verse 2, "When thou passest through the rivers, I will be with thee." And it's the presence of the Lord, you see, that makes all the difference. We pass through, but in his company, because of his leading. And so that deals with the fear. He leads us safely. And although there might be things to either side and things up ahead that cause us nervousness, anxiety, fear, but he is greater than they are. And he won't allow them to really harm us, to overwhelm us. He led them on. He leads us through. And while our good shepherd, while the great shepherd of the sheep is there, the flock need not fear. All is well within God's guiding. Safely. It means, you see, that God will ensure our safety. He never gets it wrong. Psalm 107 verse 7. He led them forth by the right way. And the right way, following God, is the safe way. The only way that we shall find unsafe and truly worrying and causing us fear is if we go our own way. And then we are without the comfort and assurance of his presence. Never go your own way. Keep to the paths that follow him. The paths of scripture. The paths of obedience to his providence. The paths of closeness to him. Following the Lord fully. And that's what makes it safe. That's why you can go to bed each night with a quiet conscience and a heart and mind full of peace, because you're enfolded in the shepherd's love and you're with him, and he will guide you the next day as you wake up. His compassions will fail not, be new every morning. Great will be his faithfulness. If you're out of the way, you won't have a minute's peace. In the way, led on safely. And he gave the people his safety. There was a particular tenderness in the way the Lord dealt with the Israelites all through their wilderness journeys, which doesn't necessarily come out so clearly in the historical record of it, but in the apostolic interpretation of it, in Hebrews 8 and verse 9. This is what we read. And this is a little extra thing that we get. When he says, in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Took them by the hand and led them out. In other words, he was with every individual Israelite, holding their hand, leading them out, and leading them all their journey through. It's a slightly different picture, isn't it? It's the father with the child. But you see, the father holds the child's hand for its safety near a busy road or somewhere where it would be dangerous to be. And while the child's hand is in the father's hand, he is led on safely. There is another view of this in Isaiah 40 and verse 11, and again it's back to the shepherd picture, but here is the most exquisite of all, isn't it? Where we're told concerning the Lord Jesus, this is a prophecy of him, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd, leading them on from one good pasture to another. And as they are going and they are following, he shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. Oh, what a picture this is. You see, he's leading them on. They're safe, but the little lambs can't keep up. And so in that case, the shepherd bends down and picks one up and holds it against his chest on his strong arm, in his bosom, warm and safe. And dear friends, any Christian in particular need qualifies as that little lamb. If you are elderly and not as strong as you were, if you're ill and feeling the effects of ill health, if you feel so inadequate, so discouraged about yourself, feel so wretched, and you can't hardly carry on. Do you know what? The Lord Jesus carries you then. He knows how you are. He carries you on his arm for strength, in his bosom, near his heart for love. That's where you are. The strength of Christ, the love of Christ. And because you are extra needy, you have that extra attention and ministry of the Good Shepherd just for you. And you are safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast. there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. That's where you are now. And he can keep all fears at bay in this comfort. He led them on safely so that they feared not. His shepherding, so that they were never afraid. Why should we be? Because of the fact that we have his accompanying presence. No need to fear. He's with us. His guiding hand. That hand over us and upon our lives. Nothing can come to us apart from him. The Lord thinking of everything for us as he moves forward and leads us on in the way, the best way. What is there to fear, even toward the end of the journey? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff comfort me. But what comes first? For thou art with me. So that they feared not. Ah, dear friends, fear is natural. Comfort is gracious and spiritual, and comes when we remember that he is leading us on safely so that we fear not. The shepherd and the comfort. The only ones that needed to be afraid were the Egyptians. And notice the solemn but in the next part of the verse. He led them on safely so that they feared not, that's his people, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. Oh, the solemn but of the unconverted. If you're not a Christian, the and belongs to God's people, the but belongs to you. You are the exception to all this. You don't know the Good Shepherd. You can't say, or even though you may have sung this psalm at funerals and in other places, you can't say the Lord is my shepherd until you're converted as well, and until he becomes your shepherd. Remember, he laid down his life for the sheep. He died on the cross to shed his blood, to redeem sinners. And it was on behalf of all who will come to him and give themselves up and surrender to the Lord Jesus. And then he saves them by his death, because he has borne their punishment instead of them. And they are free from guilt and condemnation. And they're delivered, redeemed, and brought under the care of Christ, the Good Shepherd. If you come to Christ as you are, in your sin, acknowledging that you're guilty, confessing the sinner you've been until now, and coming to him, the Good Shepherd, you'll find that he has laid down his life for you and rose again from the dead to be your living Saviour and your Good Shepherd, that you might know him and then begin to follow him. And you can then know this. He led them on safely so that they feared not. Ah, the Lord knows the difference, you see, between his people and those who are not his people. 2 Timothy 2 verse 19. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Even his people at their worst, he knows them. But they are his people. What a wonderful thing. Who would be without this? Who would prefer to be an ungodly, unconverted goat and in the world, in the Egypt, as it were, of this world, and not the Lord's people? It's wisdom. It's sensible. It's wise. It's good. It's right. It's best to be on the Lord's side, to be the Lord's eternally loved, blood-bought exquisitely cared for people. And he led them, he leads you on safely, so that they, so that we fear not. And it will be our song in heaven when he's brought us to the borders of the promised land and we're safely through the River Jordan, which, remember, he opened up for the Israelites to cross. And remember the foot of the priest, the feet of the priests, as soon as it touched the waters of the Jordan, the waters opened up and a way was made for them to cross safely. And Jesus, our high priest, priest and sacrifice for us, he has, as it were, touched the Jordan of death. He's gone ahead even in that. He died. He graced the grave with his presence and sanctified it, taken the sting out of death and the victory out of the grave. And he made the way for us so that the waters of Jordan will open up for us and we'll cross safely. They might seem threatening. They might seem deep and cold. They might appear to threaten to overwhelm us, but they cannot. Jesus has gone through them. Jesus has opened the way. He'll make sure we're carried through safely and we'll be on the other side and land us safe on Canaan's side. And we shall then, as never before, in our songs of praise to him, face to face in the glory, he led us on safely, that we feared not. This my song, through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. May it be so for us all. May we know the shepherd today. May we know the comfort all the way to glory, till we see him face to face and know that ultimate and everlasting comfort. May it be so for the glory of his dear name. Amen.